Welcome back to Insight Live on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. In the ongoing budget and contract crisis in the Sacramento City Unified School District, school board members will vote tonight on whether to finalize the elimination of 178 positions. If that is finalized, layoff notices would go out to 102 employees, I'm told, next week, and the additional jobs will be eliminated by attrition. Beyond this decision, though, Sac City Unified has a multi-million dollar budget deficit that, if not resolved, could move the district into receivership. And we wondered what that means. What is receivership? So in the studio with me to help answer that question and more is Karen Moore. She is the director of the School Fiscal Services Division for the California Department of Education. Hi, Karen. I guess Hi. You're the teacher today. You get to give us the lesson. So receivership is not bankruptcy, correct? And it's a form of bankruptcy, but not technically. It doesn't happen very often, but because it is a fiscal rescue of sorts, will you explain what exactly is involved in receivership?
Well, in the context of government, I think receivership is as good an explanation as any, and bankruptcy is probably an appropriate word to use as well, although whatever measures that we use are all with the goal of keeping the district open and getting it back on its feet. So in the context of a school district, typically what it means is they have run out of cash and they, you know, often can't make payroll. I mean, it comes down to that, essentially, when there are not sufficient options to borrow from the county or the county treasurer. So then they need a state loan.
And in fact, it's that running out of cash that triggers the receivership process.
Correct.
So under California law, a school district can't technically go into bankruptcy.
True. There was a court case back in the 90s, and it was determined that the state has an obligation to keep schools open. It's a constitutional obligation. It's part of, you know, equal protections. And so school districts have to stay open, and the state has an obligation to make sure that happens.
A couple things will happen along the way, and I want to be careful to say that I'm not talking about any specific district at this point, but that there will be a budget crisis, and then, as we were just talking, there will be a move towards a shortage of cash. But some other steps have to happen, including an audit.
Yes. Well, there's multiple audits that happen. School districts are audited every year, for example. They have an annual independent financial audit. There are also measures that are taken throughout the year to make sure that a district is on track, or to try and counsel them if they kind of go off track. So their annual budget is prepared and adopted by the district governing board. It is then reviewed and approved by the County Office of Education. And then in addition to that annual review of the budget, there are two interim reporting periods where two times during the year, the district kind of updates their fiscal status, and the county has an opportunity at those times as well to look and assess how the district is doing fiscally. So they're looking at not just the current year, but the subsequent 2 years as well. So it kind of gives them a look into the future if things look like they're turning.
It's important to make a distinction in the word superintendent, that sometimes we have the state superintendent and then we have the county superintendent. They're two different bodies.
Correct.
And they will also be both monitoring different ways a specific school district. So
yes.
In terms of the county role, the county's monitoring as a district is moving through its crises, its audits. And then at some point, there's going to be a decision made that, can I call it a rescue or an emergency action needs to happen?
Yeah.
And then what happens next? Let's say the district runs out of cash. The trigger is present.
Typically, these things don't typically happen overnight, right? People are aware that there is kind of a crisis of sorts that's brewing. And often the district, with the help of the county and sometimes the help of the state, are able to turn things around. So that's always the goal. So there's lots of intervention that happens along the way. And it could take you know, quite a long period of time for something to actually get to such a point where they need a state loan. What was your question again?
And actually, on what you just said, that is what the ultimate goal here is, that there will be an emergency loan made to the school district.
Well, that's kind of the last resort. If nothing else works, then yes.
In the meantime, there's a phrase called negative certification. And if a school goes into negative certification, then what is the status?
A school district can be, they're certified as positive, qualified, or negative. So positive means they're fine. They're going to be able to meet their obligations for the current and two subsequent years. Qualified is they may not make their obligations for the current or two subsequent years. Negative is they won't, without some action, meet their obligations for the current or the immediate subsequent fiscal year. So districts are negative. Sometimes it's not a common thing necessarily, but it doesn't necessarily foretell bankruptcy. Right now, as of the last reporting period, we have 5 districts that were certified as negative. There are some every year. We don't have bankruptcies every year. I think we've had 9 in the last 18 years. So the bankruptcy itself is not all that common. The negative status is, you know, there are usually several a year. I think the high was 13 one year back in the tough economic times. I think we had almost 200 districts that were in a qualified status. So it's a early warning system, and it usually works, and usually things are able to resolve themselves without needing a state loan.
What is the status right now of Sacramento City Unified School District?
They do have a negative certification. As of the first interim reporting period, I can't speak to the second. That should be coming up fairly soon. I'm guessing it's still going to be negative. And there are, as of the first interim period, there were 5. And so I don't expect that they will all be bankrupt. I hope none of them will.
There is another district in the Northern California region that is also in that negative certification.
Correct.
And that
it's
is
Amador. And actually, it's the County Office of Education. That's a unique one where the county office and the school district share the same governing board. So the state is actually the agency that's responsible for monitoring them and reviewing their budgets and so on. And so the district or the county office, we actually made them negative at first interim. So we have concerns. They're a small agency, and we're hoping that we can work through things and get them through this crisis.
The negative certification originates at the county level?
Typically the agency self-certifies for themselves, whether they think they're positive, qualified, or negative. Their oversight agency can change that certification if they disagree. So in the case of Amador, we changed the certification from qualified to negative. And the district is certified as qualified, and we agreed with that certification.
I realize that we're getting a bit in the weeds, and I'm talking with Karen Moore. She's the director of the School Fiscal Services Division for the State Department of Education in California. So back to the concept of receivership. Ultimately, there's going to have to be a loan, but the loan requires a piece of legislation.
Correct.
So it seems logical that if a school district is working on a loan, they're also talking with a lawmaker to work out some sort of legislation. And that also says that every school that goes into receivership would have a unique bill connected to it for its loan.
Correct. Yes.
And then lawmakers will discuss it. It has to be approved. It goes to the governor's desk. All that sounds like it could take a lot of time.
These things can happen fairly quickly. It depends, for starters, if the legislature is in session. That is important. But these are typically urgency bills that can move fairly quickly through the legislative process. These things, as I've said, we hope that it doesn't come to where they need a state loan, right? So people are aware. The county office is intimately involved. The state has a role. Probably their legislators already know that this district is in financial crisis. And I'm speaking generally. Certainly in the case of Sac City, I'm sure, you know, we are the capital. So I'm sure everybody is more than aware. But everybody is aware. I think everybody is ready or willing to act if need be. But I think we need to exhaust all measures. I think everybody is looking to exhaust all measures to make sure that they can make whatever cuts that they need to make, that if there's borrowing that can happen without needing a state loan, that can happen. And then when all of those avenues are exhausted, then the state loan becomes a reality. And things can move fairly quickly, I think. There is certainly a willingness to, and people agree that we need to make this happen. You know, people need to get paid and the district needs to go on. So
that raises the question, how often has this happened? How many schools have gone into receivership and might still be in? And then how often do schools get out of receivership and get rolling again on their own fiscally?
So I said from 1991 to now, about the last 18 years, we've had 9. For the 10 or 12 years before that, we had 28, I think. So what happened was when the Richmond School District got a loan back in early 90s, there was a bill. It was called AB 1200. It was authored by Delaine Easton, who later became the state superintendent. And it established some oversight measures that's what we use now. And so I think it's been very effective over time. So that's where the budget review and those interim reports that I talked about, that bill created an organization called FICMAT, the Fiscal Crisis and Management Assistance Team. So there's lots of work that goes around monitoring and oversight to help with that process. So it has happened 9 times in the past 18 or so years.
And of those 9, how many are still in receivership right now?
4. Yeah. 4 still have loans. 3 of those districts have what we call a trustee. 1 of those districts has an administrator where they have full control of the district.
Again, I'm going to walk a bit into the weeds here on this. State law changed in a trailer bill last fall that shifted the oversight from the state to the county. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get too deep into it, but in terms of what you just said, the trustee or the state administrator, mm-hmm. and these would be the individuals that step in to take over in place of the school board or the superintendent. Who directs and guides those people changed?
Yes. So it used to be, it's called a state takeover. And it's called a state administrator, where the state comes in and has control. That responsibility has shifted back to the county office. We don't have any districts that have gone bankrupt and gotten a loan under this new process. So I don't know exactly how it will work. But what I do know is for the 4 districts that still have outstanding loans, in 3 of the cases, we had a state trustee, and I'll explain that. In 1, we had a state administrator. We had contracts with them. So we had to revise those contracts to turn them back to the county so that the county now is responsible for those districts. So back to the administrator versus trustee. When the loan is significantly large, if the loan request is 200 times the amount of their recommended reserve for economic uncertainty, so that's the amount that they're required to set aside for reserves. If the amount of the loan is 200 times that amount, then they require a state administrator. And what that means is, and I say state administrator, now I guess it's a county administrator, but it's hard to change that term. It means that person comes in and essentially runs the district. They act as the superintendent, they act as the board. They kind of have full control, and they work with the community. There are lots of laws surrounding how they are supposed to act and who they're supposed to consult with people. But ultimately, the decisions are theirs, along with now the county office. It used to be the state.
So whichever school district might go into receivership mm-hmm. next becomes the school district that goes through this process mm-hmm. since the change in the law for
yes.
the first time.
Correct.
And there's still state involvement because
yes.
the state gives the county a list of people to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
The county puts them in place. The school district pays for those people
yes.
to oversee. And the state still has some involvement, as
Correct.
I understand.
The state superintendent still has a role. The State Board of Education has a role. FICMAT is kind of in an oversight role as well.
To help the school district get out
yes.
of that situation. So maybe a district would want to go in to receivership because it's run out of cash and it has no choice. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't a school district want to go into receivership?
I think two primary reasons. One is it loses control of the district. The board members become advisory only. They don't have a specific role. They don't get paid. The district superintendent is no longer there. It is the administrator that comes in and takes over. So while the administrator is working with the locals, ultimately it's this person's decisions that kind of control the district. And the goal is to get them out of receivership. And the other reason is it's expensive. It's a state loan that can take up to 20 years to repay. There's interest. They're paying for the trustee or the administrator. They're paying for additional studies that might have to be done. They're paying for an audit that's probably more expensive. So it's not necessarily a cheap proposition.
What's the range of loan amounts that you've seen in receiverships?
In recent history, in the last 18 years or so, I think the low has been $1.5 million-ish. And the large was $100 million. That was Oakland Unified.
So as we move forward, are there any other anticipated changes to the process? It is somewhat new because of what just shifted last fall. On the other hand, it's a process that has been in place and that has been working for a few decades now for schools that need it.
That's hard to say. There have been, since AB 1200 was first enacted, there were changes along the way in some ways to strengthen some of those requirements and some, you know, I'll say tweaks along the way. This is kind of a fundamental shift, moving the primary responsibility back to the county. So it's hard to say whether there might be some other changes along the way. It's possible as we kind of work through this process. And it's also, I think, a reality that with each specific emergency loan, there are sometimes little different conditions that are assigned to them. And so depending on the next one to come up, there might be some nuance, something that is people feel is necessary to add to the legislation.
As I said, this has been a lesson in receivership. We aren't applying it to any specific district at this point. Is there anything else to know about it? And we're both aware that we're sitting here having this conversation at a very tenuous time. The trigger, again, as you said, would be a district running out of cash. That doesn't seem to be anything arbitrary. Anything else to know in this lesson about receivership in California?
No, I would just say it's not a lot of fun for anybody, right? And I think whatever can be done to kind of forestall that or and avoid that would be good. So, you know, whatever people can do to work together, whatever, you know, the county is, I think, willing to step in and help. We're willing to step in and help. And so we hope that things, you know, work themselves out as many of them have in the past. So.
Karen, thank you for saying yes. Thanks for coming in to teach us a little bit about this. I think that this is a conversation that's going to expand over time, and I appreciate the information.
Thank you.
That is Karen Moore. She's director of the School Fiscal Services Division for the California Department of Education. Our newsroom is going to follow the results of tonight's vote by the Sacramento City Unified School Board, and you can find that coverage at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.